Hello and welcome to Leaders in Tech and E-commerce podcast. I'm your host, Rashid, and I'm also the Managing Director at Elcott Global, responsible for executive search and consulting business in Asia Pacific and North America. Our mission is to connect the tech in supply chain and e-commerce ecosystem globally by bringing forward some exciting stories about successes and failures from leaders in the industry. So today we have Matt Pittard, founder and CEO at Cargo AI. Cargo AI provides the best digitalized solutions to the air cargo industry. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much, Rashid, to have me here.
By the way, just so you know, we never had anybody on our podcast who come from a company who is basically working solely for air cargo. So we have a lot of curious questions, and I hope you're ready to answer. If any of the questions are naive, please forgive me.
That's why we are here.
Awesome. Hey, Matt, let's start with you. I mean, you had a very successful career with Dyson. What made you leave that, cushy job and start being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, and even before that, that's why I started in air cargo with Air France KLM and Schenker. And that's really how I started my career. And that's why when you say nobody has talked about air cargo before, is because I think it's really a niche market with people staying in air cargo. Mm-hmm. And I had the chance to start my career in air cargo and then leave air cargo when I moved to Singapore 11 years ago and worked for Dyson.
Yeah,
which at the time I needed to explain what Dyson was, but now I people seems to know what it is. And for them, I was innovation manager for the whole supply chain and manufacturing. So really working with a lot of tech company and startups to see how we could have a big visibility supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, I left 5 years ago, did a sabbatical with my family around the world. And when I came back, I decided to be an entrepreneur. That led me to cargo.
Awesome. So tell me, what was the thought? Why did you end up starting air cargo and nothing else?
So I started two different companies when I started to be an entrepreneur but small one. And then talking to a few people in air cargo, I realized that there was a big, big gap in terms of technology, and not only technology, but product in air cargo. And that was, the industry was probably 20 to 30 years late in terms of adoption. I give you an example. Until 3 years ago, it was not possible to book cargo online. There was no website. All the airlines didn't have a website to book cargo. Mm. It was still doing by phone or by email. Whereas in the passenger industry or a hotel, it was already 20 years before that we had booking by website. So that was one example. The other example was CRM. When I discussed with my friend about CRM, I was implementing a CRM in one of my startups, and I was discussing that with a friend and say, what is a CRM? And then say, Salesforce. And the guy never heard about Salesforce. And then when I look a little bit deeper, it's probably one of the only industry that didn't have Salesforce or didn't have CRM 3 years ago in air cargo. It was very, very little known. And so it strikes me that this industry has really, really been operating on its own, alone, without all the progress that has been done in most of the other industries. So that's why I started this Cargo AI, to really bring cargo to the industry, to bring technology.
That's amazing, because, the way I see it, and again, I'm not an expert in air cargo at all, but, I remember from very young that, I could book an airline ticket online. It was quite digitalized. They managed the, kind of travel space really well. They knew they basically had a platform. I forgot what the platform was called, that, basically the travel agents would know exactly, if the booking. So they were quite connected in a way. Their internet was really strong. Their extranet was very strong. How could they not adapt the same thing on their cargo side? Because many of the airline companies did both those things. So the question is, why do you think, part of the business adapted technology quickly at the other? Because cargo was always a profitable business.
Yeah, so cargo is not always profitable, and has a lot of struggle for the last 30 years. And the reason why is because I think cargo is a complete, even if it's belong to the same airline group, it's still a totally different business unit, and it's different people. And there is not a lot of crossover between passenger and cargo. People don't really want to go to cargo when they are in passenger. So in the end, either if they have the same company, they are really working on their own entity. And if you look at people in a hiring domain, you know how it is, but usually you have only people that are expert in this domain in cargo. So there is really, really little people that go out of cargo, or people that go in cargo when they are in their 40 or their 50. So that basically blocks all the innovation that happen in other industries. So if you have been in cargo since you are 20 years old and you've done all your career in cargo, you have never heard about the CRM. You have never heard about other tools that exist in other industry. But in other industry, you have a lot of more mix. You can be a salesperson in pharma and maybe sometime and then you have some passerelle or some where you can then bring those best practices in other industry. In cargo, it's really very rare. And that's to me explain why there has been such a gap in digitization. Also, there have been some companies that have been there for a while and almost like a duopoly in a lot of areas. So there was no interest for anybody to change. And then the last point is that because of profitability was quite a struggle for air cargo. There is always a crisis every 3 years. There is a crisis in air cargo. It's happened a lot. So you're always trying to reduce the cost and you don't have money to invest. And IT system in air cargo have been seen as a lot of investment in the past.
Mm.
And that's why we demonstrate with Cargo AI that you don't need to invest. You can use SaaS. SaaS has never been heard in air cargo since the last 3 years, before the last 3 years. You can implement a new system in a few days, which has never been heard of. So that's really what we are bringing with Cargo AI, the modern way to design a product to make it user-friendly. Also, that's very new, and that's what we bring in air cargo.
So Cargo AI basically is, so one, of course, is where it's a marketplace.
Right.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah, so that's the first product that we launched because the idea was we have a lot of product in mind, but to have the freight forwarder and the airlines as customers, we need to, the best way was to start with a marketplace. And it was also the best timing because a lot of airlines were building their APIs to be able to connect. By the way, we had to explain to a lot of airlines what an API was 3 years ago. but so that's how
that's
it
so
started.
Funny.
So we had the, now we are connecting more than 7,000 freight forwarder in 110 countries.
Oh, wow. I saw Qatar Airlines recently shared, I don't know, again, all their assets or is it
So all the capacity is live on for Qatar. So it's rolling out everything during this month of October.
Wow.
So in all the country that they operate, then we can have bookings from a freight forwarder. It's not only booking, it's also freight forwarder can then check online. So it looks pretty basic when you are using booking.com or Expedia all the time, but imagine that before the freight forwarder, they were doing that by phone or by email again. So there is a lot of interaction. And so we reduce all this inefficiency in a modern way without having to train the user because it's all very intuitive and they can be trained online. So that's our first product was the marketplace. But from that, because it's a B2B space, we're now expanding into a lot of IT other area. We're already an IT provider for air cargo, and we have direct connection with TMS and freight forwarder. We have a lot of data analysis that we can draw and that are very useful for the airline of the freight forwarder. And we also have a whole suite on sustainability that we are very happy to be launching.
Awesome. So again, you know, my questions are going to be on all the three things, but I just have one more question. Let's say, from again, this is, as I said, you know, it's a naive perspective. You know, if I'm a, you know, basically a freight forwarder who is also doing freight, you know, kind of air freight, before, I'm assuming when Cargo AI is not there, if I have to deal with Lufthansa or Qatar, I'll basically have to make sure that I block the complete, you know, capacity because, you know, they do not want to have a hassle of kind of managing multiple partners to fill the capacity. Does Cargo AI provide that solution where you can now do a LTL, you can have, you know, five different partners going into same plane from one route, let's say Asia to US or Asia to Europe?
No, so in Cargo, you already had this from Lufthansa as an example. They already had the capability to sell to different customer, different freight forwarder. So they were already doing that. And it's kind of the same as it works for passenger. It's except that you know your customer because they are much less freight forwarder. And you have also data available to know which one has freight on which route. So you can actually contact your customer. But it's still, so Lufthansa didn't need us to actually sell to multiple freight forwarder. They already have a system for that. What we do is really make it more easier and simpler. And also, I think if you look at it, there is a whole complexity that to be able to book with Lufthansa, you needed to have an account with Lufthansa. You needed to have, before you make a booking, you need to have what we call Airway Bill stock, which is a list of Airway Bill, which is the letter or the contract. And you need to have that before you make the booking. So a lot of small freight forwarder didn't have space because they couldn't have a contract with all the airlines. So that's also what we are facilitating in digitally to do that all online. So basically now what we do with our suite is we enable the big freight forwarder to book with the airlines, but also the all the small ones that didn't have an account with all the airlines, we manage to help them to actually reach out and that's help them to get more customers as well, because they can contact more airlines, they can book on more airlines, they can and then have more options to their ultimate customer, which are the cheapest, the cheapest.
Interesting. And would you, I'm assuming your clients are not just freight forwarders, but you also work directly with the shippers who are
No,
basically
so
regulated.
no, we are really working only with freight forwarder, but then the solution that we have, like the CO2 measurement and all that, is basically for the freight forwarder, so they can push that to their shipper and give a lot of ton of visibility. So the solution that we have are really for the freight forwarder, but then they are using that to facilitate the discussion with their shipper, and that's really helping them. And we are doing those solutions together with the freight forwarder for that.
It's quite interesting. Let's say if I'm running a, let's say, a vision care product, my freight is, let's say, I'm basically spending $2 million on air freight because, it's an optical lenses and it has to move faster. I'd rather cut the cost, go directly look at the capacity and directly reach out to airlines, right? So why wouldn't they have access to your marketplace? Why
So
are they
that's,
not using it?
yeah, that's not possible in air cargo. In air cargo, you need to go through a freight forwarder who because basically a freight forwarder will do much more than just book the cargo online. They will also do the arrange the delivery
Operations
to the
part of it.
airport. They will make sure you have the custom clearance properly done. They will create the pallets, which need to be specific for the air cargo. You can't do just build a pallet that has a risk to have a. It's much riskier than sea freight. Basically, if you have an accident on the plane, then it's quite different. So you have to have the right pallets, know how to build a pallet, you know where to deliver the freight. So basically, right now you still need the freight forwarder for all your shipment when you want to book with an airline. But then, as a shipper, you have the choice to go through like modern freight forwarder who are using the best tool in the market to reduce the cost and to be efficient, or you can go to the traditional freight forwarder who are still doing very traditional, and then the cost will be higher because they don't know what's the best solution out there. And so this is what we are really helping the freight forwarder to upscale. And also the small one that don't have money to invest into their system, we basically provide them very, very unique and easy to use platform so they can go and start making the shipment right away with the airline for their benefit of their shipper.
Interesting. And what's happening with the cost of the air freight? I mean, because you have a lot of visibility of data, I mean, can you tell us if the price is going to fall or rise in the next 6 months? I mean, we are seeing a trend in sea freight, at least, that it's been going down now.
It's the same in air freight. It
Air
has
freight as well?
been it's going down now. So it should be peak season right now, whereas we peak is supposed to be the peak season every year around October or November. And what we see is that it's a small peak season, mainly because China didn't fully reopen. And so the price are really going down compared to COVID, and it's starting to go back to what we've seen before COVID. So that's expectations.
And
Then
what's it?
I can't really predict more than what the visibility that air cargo is booked in the next 2 weeks. So
Oh, okay.
you don't really see more than 2 weeks of actual data, but you can see that the trend is really, and what when we call to the when we speak to our client, the freight forwarder, we see that the demand is going down. So that's the trend.
It's quite interesting. It's just 2 weeks because I would assume that the recurrence of people using the same routes would be quite high. So yeah, it's quite an
Yeah, but
eye-opener.
air freight is still very expensive compared to sea freight. So companies like when I was in Dyson, we use air freight just when we were not able to plan something.
Got
So,
it.
and then if you don't plan, then of course it's a last minute. Of course, sometimes you have launch that you need to have a product and you know it's going to be air freight from the start because you have a launch in 2 weeks. But the actual capacity on the plane, you can't really. Usually, you can block it a little bit in advance, but you really finalize the shipment just in the last week or so.
Now, coming to on the supply chain challenges within the pandemic, which has thrown at you, is there any upside? Like, I'm assuming, upside was probably the kind of the vaccination, which has basically been moved around, was majorly through air freight. But is there any other upside which you got through the pandemic?
So there was the vaccine and also the mask. So there was a lot of chatter for mask, and that was really, I think, what's basically saved the airline. So that brings the revenue to the cargo part of the airlines, and that basically made sure that the airlines could still fly and could still have people. Otherwise, I think a lot of airlines would have shut down, because the capacity shrunk and the price were quite high. So for the airline side, it didn't compensate the loss that they had on the passenger side, but it helped a lot of them to survive. Now the passengers are coming back, which is a great news. The cargo is going back to, I think, normal rates, as sea freight is going to do the same, on a slower pace, I guess. And also, I think what it's really helped realize the airlines that they had to change the way certainly in cargo, the way they were doing business, right? So before COVID, as a lot of industry people thought that remote work or digitalization was not really possible, but now they were forced into it with COVID, and now they realize it was actually less painful than they thought. So digitization is now very hard on the agenda and very high. So also because it was so late again in cargo that it was almost like the elastic was stretched to the maximum, and now it's being back to, okay, actually digitalization is not so hard to do, and that's why Cargo AI is also here to help, and we have a lot of discussion and partnership this coming every month.
And what do you think the landscape is going to look like for cargo AI in the next 5 to 10 years? Like, would you move out of air cargoes, go to, rail or road or
Yeah, so
sea?
there is a ton of stuff to do in air
Sorry,
cargo, and right now there is not a lot of company that are the expert as we are in air cargo and digitization. So we have really, I mean, our focus is to have build a team with half of the team being very expert in product and technology. So we have the best technology out there because we are using the same technology as big companies or like Google or startups are using. But also having the same, like half of the company being really a cargo expert and knowing the industry. So by having this marriage of this wedding of the two skills, then we are really unique in a sense. And there is a lot of stuff in cargo that we can do to bring the airlines and the freight forwarder up to speed. So I think they will be pretty busy in the next 5 to 10 years, just on this front. I don't really see. There are other companies that are doing very well in sea freight and in truck. So I think for us, it's more having partnership with those companies that makes sense. That's where we are now. I mean, 5 years
Would you
and
look
ten
at
years.
inorganic way of growing in the other freight industries?
Yeah, I think that's more probably through partnership. I mean, but again, 5 years or 10 years is very long term for us. Looking at the speed of the pace that we are going, so it's hard to say, but. For now, I really see us more as a strategic player in the air cargo with a lot of different product to launch. I mean, yeah, even we have big new product coming live right now and in early next year. So to even facilitate more the booking or the whole supply chain and distribution of air cargo. So I think that we are pretty busy with that.
Awesome. And now talking about sustainability, what are you measuring? How are you talking about sustainability in the company? And is it one of the topics you have in mind, in your mind, while building the organization? Or is it something which you have kind of picked up right now because it's higher in trend and demand?
So it's exactly the both basically. So we are a young company and we have a lot of young people. So I mean, it's almost like a no-brainer and a must for all of us in the company, right? So we have to play our parts and see how we can do something. At the same time, we are in a very strategic position because we get a lot of data from all what's happening on our platform. And so we are in this position. We can't really influence if people are going to buy or need air cargo. We can't really do that. But what we can do is making sure that when they buy air cargo, they take the most optimal route and they have the right data. That's really what we are bringing with our solution is making sure that freight forwarder and shipper have the right data. So after all the shipment, they know how efficient their cargo was. If you take a direct route on an optimum, on a new aircraft, basically, you have the most efficient way to have cargo. And we are the only one to be able to provide this data, not only measuring it, but comparing it to the most efficient. And that's something we have developed with some freight forwarder that are very advanced in this stage. And we provide this data so they can have the conversation with their shipper to say, right, you want to be green for your customer. So here are the options. Either you continue today what you are doing and you are 75% efficient, and we have the detail and the breakdown per route. But or if you want to be 100% efficient and save X amount of CO2, then this is going to cost you exactly 20%, 10%, 15% per route. And this is data that nobody has seen before, because there is not a lot of company like us that can have all this aggregated data. And that's what we are offering. We are also, again, rolling out other products so people can reduce their air freight in a very easy way as well. And I think for us, we are probably ahead of the curve and to be to a bit more to advance in terms of product and in terms of needs of the market. But we think that it's really, we're all passionate about it and think we need to do something. And we can with the data that we have. And I also think that in terms of product, there will be an acceleration of needs from the companies, from the people. So when they will realize that, then we have the product ready for them.
What kind of data, I mean, I don't know if it's okay for you to share, but what are the ways of carbon neutralizing, you know, what are the alternatives you're providing? Like, do you just tell them to go and talk to companies like South Pole or North Pole, or basically, are you actually telling them, hey, you know, these are the routes, these are the days where you do it to kind of reduce it. And then this amount, which let's say, you know, 10x or 20x can be basically, you know, invested in basically growing trees or, you know, investing solar panels.
We had done a 3-step. So the first step was really measure. So we can measure all the CO2 for every flight very accurately, which we launched last year. Now we are measuring and comparing to the rest of the industry. And that's what we call the efficiency factor. And what we are launching is reduction. And we are launching at the end of the month or early next month. Reduction, I do believe that right now, the best way to reduce is really to I'm with my leg. The best way to reduce is really SAF. SAF is really the sustainable aviation fuel is the undisputed way to reduce your carbon. So yes, it's a bit expensive, but today it's the undisputed way. There are other options where you can, of course, plant trees and all that, but I think those needs to be heavily regulated and heavily audited before you can really tap into it and you can really go to the next level. Because planting trees is great if you're really planting trees. And today, as Cargo AI, we don't have the power or the visibility to be able to really ensure our customer that we are really planting trees if we go with one of those offsetting programs. So for us, buying SAF is the best solution that we can offer. And that's where what we are looking for.
Yeah, but I think many digital freight forwarders are doing that, which is, I also think it's a right foot forward, to be honest, towards sustainability. So that's amazing. Now, you know, talking about you and the leadership, what leadership skills do you think you had which made, you know, Cargo AI what it is now? I mean, you have achieved a lot of success in a very short time. So what do you think what was the differentiator within you?
To be honest, I think there is a big timing and luck. It's not only my leadership, but it was arriving at the right time with the right skills and knowledge from my side. So being at the right time, I started 3 years ago with a university in Singapore to create the product. So I had to know a bit of IT, a bit of air cargo, which was one of my skills. But then the timing and the luck was the most prominent factor. But then I also had my best luck in a way was to hire the right people. So hire the right team, having people that were very hands-on, but at the same time, very able to have strategic mindset, which was really something you need in a startup in the beginning, right? When you ask five people, you need people that can be very strategic, but also very hands-on. And as the company grow, now we are around 35 people, you need those people to be completely different role, right? You need to have them piloting and managing. So having those people were crucial to have the success that we have, because if you have only hands-on people, you can't grow. If you only have manager, you can't stand, because you need to have hands-on people that can do the job. So that's really what we are, where we are trying in Cargoia, is to recruit people that can have still those different skills, but also can take responsibility for an ownership. And I think that's really the importance, is how do we make sure people really embrace the culture, the company, and can really, yes, be on their own, and almost is their startup. So it's all Cargoia is their company. So they really can do whatever they want, and if it's for the benefit of Cargoia.
Awesome, perfect. We'll do two more questions. One of them, this is very important, and we are basically asking this question in all the podcasts now. How do you keep up with your mental health, and how do you make sure that you're creating a culture to identify gaps if somebody is mentally falling low?
Right, and I think that's crucial. So I've been doing remote working before COVID, and I was quite keen into it. And then while COVID came, I think I was almost like going backwards, saying, okay, it's great to be remote, but people, it's not for everybody. And then people, it's a trap. People will think that they are happy and that that's great, but then they will really, after a few months or year, they will fall into the trap that they wake up in the morning, open their computer, work, and then watch Netflix at the end of the day. And then their social life is then potentially can be dead, because you have a lot of people that have a really social life only through work. So what we did in Cargo AI, and we are growing at different stage, and every stage we are implementing new measures. So we are a remote company. So we have 35 people, and 25 are not in Singapore, 25 are around the globe, and they are working by themselves in their office or in their home for now almost 2 years. So what we implemented, which I think is quite good, is this year we did a social cargo L, what we call. And so everybody can spend $50 every month on a social activity with their friend, their family, or sport or fitness or anything, and they have to post it and they can claim it, but they have to post it on the internal chat. And that's really to ensure that people go out, basically, because I think, again, you join a new company, you are very excited, but after 6 months or 1 year, you can burn out very quickly. So I'm very cautious of that. And I think the main risk is that you burn out, but you don't feel you're going to burn out because you think it's perfect. You don't need to travel anymore. So that's the risk that I see, that we need to be very aware. And unfortunately, I think I'm always looking at new tools, but I don't think there is a lot of new tools that have emerged specifically for remote working. I think there is tons of other stuff that we can do. We do pulse survey every 2 weeks. But I think there should be more tools specifically for remote working, and I haven't found them yet.
No, that's, again, you know, already the kind of steps you're doing, is it's really engaging. So I'm quite sure it's already helping. But yeah, I agree. I think that there are more tools required, and it's in need, because, you know, again, I know a lot of talent who wants to continue working from home, you know, wants to have this a life which is more family oriented, but which also is that, you know, the socially to kind of interact with the outer world has reduced. And so, yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, but I think there is also, if I may, we are in a very unique position where we had the pandemic, and now we have almost like full employment everywhere, and people are going out of the pandemic. So we are now still, I think, at the end of the curve. And I think, so people say, I don't want to go back to the office, and they think that they are old. They quit their job because they think that it's basically not working anymore. But I think it's not the old job that is not working anymore. It's actually the fact that to be remote all the time is very painful. Yes. So it will be the same with a new company, probably. And also, of course, if you are full employment, you can switch job very easily. But I think in 6 months or in 1 year, we will be in very different, I hope not too much, but we might be in a very difficult position where actually it will be, if there is a crisis, then there will be less jobs. So people will actually not have the choice. They will have to work, and they won't have so many options as today. And so then also there, I think that's also one factor being digital that we actually are pushing, is that If your company is using the right digital tool and not having boring processes, then you attract more talent and you can keep those talent. And that's really a factor of digitalization that we noticed is that it's easier to keep people when they are using modern tool than if they
I
have to
agree.
do something on the phone or by paper as they would traditionally. So
I
this
totally
is
agree.
another plus for Cargo AI.
Awesome. We'll go to the last question. And again, this is not actually a question. I just want to kind of give you the stage to talk to our audience. If you want to kind of put your speech, we have a lot of freight forwarders following this video, so it would be quite good for you to kind of talk to them directly.
No, and thank you again for the opportunity. I'm happy to talk to every freight forwarder in the world and facilitate their booking. Even if they don't do air freight, that's what we facilitate now. We can help them to do air freight now with our solution, and they can really go on cargoai.co and easily sign in 2 minutes. But also, if you're a shipper, then make sure that your freight forwarder is doing cargoai, because then it guarantees that you have the best rate. It guarantees that you actually can they can answer faster to you. They can track your shipments, so you don't have data visibility as you had before. So that's really encouraging all of you to learn more about Cargo AI, and don't hesitate to reach out to me as well. It will be very nice to discuss and to see what other product we can launch.
Matt, again, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Roshit.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For all the show notes and information discussed in the episode, please follow elcotglobal/podcast. Also, if you found this interesting, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or any of the podcast platform. We are looking forward to your feedback. Thank you so much.